You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
Why do we watch war films? What do they tell us about our sense of ourselves, whether they're anti-war or whether they glorify it? What's in a war film? The genre is as strong as ever, and it's being celebrated by a new exhibition at the Imperial War Museum in London. It's a musician that goes behind the scenes of some of the most famous films in the genre. I've been talking to Laura Clouting, who's an historian and curator of Reel to Reel, A Century of War Movies.
I think what the Battle of the Somme film did was that it was the first time really that the idea of a feature film, a war documentary, became something of a sensation. You know, the cinema is a new, relatively new thing. Film is not a terribly old medium, and it becomes this incredibly immediate way to understand, to visualise war. The Battle of the Somme film is the first time that people can see, come to understand what it is that their loved ones are doing during this battle, this big push in 1916.
It must have been quite a shock to them, given what had been said about the war in the months running up to it, about how it was a glorious thing and everyone would have a wonderful time.
Yeah, absolutely. This film was seen 20 million times in the first 6 weeks.
Let's turn to The Dam Busters, which is a film almost everyone will have seen, 1955, and a mood that was triumphant, but tinged with something else, I suppose. Is it fair to say, at least towards the end?
Yeah, I think The Dam Busters really is probably the most iconic of the 50s war movies.
For obvious reasons, you've had to work without knowing your target or even your weapon. But tonight, you're going to have a chance to hit the enemy harder and more destructively than any small force has ever done before.
I mean, these kind of classics of that period, everything from The Cruel Sea, The Dam Busters, Ice Cold and Alex, and these films really were there to kind of chip in to tell people, you know, remember that this was worth it, because 10 years after the war, the legacy of that conflict still has not abated.
But they're also doing it in a slightly more complex way, and you mentioned Ice Cold and Alex, in which, there's a German character who's quite gently portrayed, and the hero has all sorts of crises, although eventually succeeds. It's a more complex picture.
Yeah, and these British heroes are not the kind of triumphant figures, for example, that you might encounter in American films. They are actually kind of the idea of the anti-hero. I mean, John Mills in Ice Cold and Alex is a very kind of rugged, very troubled character. He has a drink problem, very prone to kind of wild outbursts of anger. This is not a classic hero by any stretch of the imagination.
Stand up, Joe. Sit with him. Four ice cold lagers. Worth waiting for.
Let's bring it bang up to date, or much closer to date. 2008, Hurt Locker, the American film.
Welcome to Camp Victory.
Oh, Camp Victory? That's just Camp Liberty.
Oh, no, they changed that about a week ago. Victory sound better.
When you look at that, and you look back over the history of war films, what has happened? Where have we come?
I really think films about modern conflict tell us something very interesting, and that really is that there is a total lack of consensus about modern conflict. You do not get these kind of epics, you know, by the very nature that these wars are much more, they're much smaller, much more fragmented. The causes of these wars are far more contentious. That is not the case with the Second World War, where, generally speaking, the population was behind the war, felt that it was worthwhile. So what I think you see with films like The Hurt Locker, even right bang up to date with something like Eye in the Sky, which is about drone warfare, is a much smaller scale story. You're seeing those conflicts through the prism of an individual or a very small group of men.
And did that start with the Deer Hunt? Way back now, isn't it? 1978.
Yeah, I think you could look at those Vietnam films as being, again, these are prisms. These are very kind of small-scale stories, if you like, that allow you to take a very kind of personal, individual impression of that conflict. But of course, with, for example, the Vietnam films, they are primarily the vision that you can instantly conjure up when you think of what was that conflict like. The importance of war movies, and I think why the Imperial War Museum wants to do a new exhibition about them, is that really they are one of our chief ways of gaining a visual sense of what a war is like.
Laura Clouting, thanks very much.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.